Welcome to the Data Center Hawk podcast, where we help people make better decisions in the data center space. This is our 2021 Data Center Year Review and 2022 Predictions live on LinkedIn. I'm Mike Netzer, joined by the man who has given up soda, at least until the end of the year, maybe longer.
Right.
Data Center Hawk founder and CEO, David Liggett. David, good to be with you today.
Thank you very much, Mike. Great to be with everyone on LinkedIn Live. Thanks for joining. And we're really excited to talk about what we've seen in 2021 in the data center industry and what's going to happen, what we believe is going to happen in 2022. And I have given up soda, but I have not given up coffee.
So I'm going to be okay. You can do that, yes. All right, quick intro for those who are not familiar. We are Data Center Hawk. We track the data center sector of commercial real estate. You can find more information at datacenterhawk.com. I'm sure we'll have links below. If you'd like to connect with the team, you can sign up for our newsletter, even book some time with us through the site. Since we are live, you can put your questions in the chat below, and we'll answer them at the end. All right, David, so let's talk 2021 first, year in review. What are some of the major themes you saw throughout 2021?
Yeah, great question. Let me hit on a few of them. One is, we saw healthier demand in North America from a North America absorption perspective. And let me set the framework there. In 2018, we saw the most demand we'd ever seen in the data center market. 2019 was more of a digestion year. 2020, it again rose to a historical level.
Hey, what happened in 2020 that drove that? Is there a significant
event? You would think it was just the pandemic, but it was actually additional growth that was already taking place in 2020. And in 2021, at the beginning, you know, we thought that the growth would be strong, probably not as strong as 2021, and I think that's accurate. When you talk about growth in the United States data center market, everything typically starts with Northern Virginia. So last week, I did a 45-minute presentation on Northern Virginia alone with Data Center Dynamics. So there will be a link, I believe, in our material that you can go and watch that.
It was very informative. It was a deep dive. A ton of charts, ton of graphs, ton of commentary. So it was really good.
Yeah. So what I want to do today is actually talk about some of the other larger data center markets in the U.S. and the growth that we've seen. So one of the words that we use to describe the growth in the data center market is lumpiness.
There it is.
Large demand in the data center industry comes irregularly, but if you look at the historical context of growth, it can start to make sense. So if we'll put that graph up there, what I want to do is highlight the average absorption rates on an annual basis in the top five data center markets in the U.S. other than Northern Virginia, and where they were at the end of the third quarter. We're currently, you know, in the last part of the year, so there's additional growth to that number. But what I wanted to do was highlight that. So the markets that we're looking at are Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, Northern California, and Phoenix. There's a lot of activity taking place in these markets today, both from a supply perspective as well as demand. So in Chicago, the average amount of absorption is around 37 megawatts annually. At the end of the third quarter this year, we were at 39 megawatts. Dallas, the average is typically 30 to 32. At the end of the third quarter, we were at 24. We think we'll be above 40 by the end of the year. In Atlanta, we're typically around 17 to 18. At the end of the third quarter this year, we were at 23. In Northern California, you know, market that you've got some of the largest data center users that are actually like headquartered in that market. Annually, it's about 39.8 megawatts. At the end of the third quarter, 37 megawatts. Phoenix, which some have nicknamed as like the cloud home of the Southwest, 24.4 megawatts is the typical absorption number on an annual basis. At the end of the third quarter, 43 megawatts. So you can see the growth that's taken place. It's certainly happened in, you know, some of these larger markets. It's also interesting and encouraging to see that growth spread out amongst major markets in the U.S. What the graph doesn't show, Mike, and to those listening, is the additional demand in other U.S. markets. So, for example, Northern New Jersey, we have seen the financial sector really come back to the colocation market, and that's really driven the growth there. There's other secondary markets like Portland, Salt Lake City, Columbus, where the demand is growing and it's starting to be strong. The other thing I would just mention here is we've also witnessed these hyperscale users actually building on their own. And so that's a demand in itself. It doesn't show up necessarily in our multi-tenant absorption numbers, but it is data center development activity that is happening in these markets and it's become really active.
Yeah, I remember we probably talked about this probably 18, 24 months ago, how It will be. I think we were confident that it would happen. Very healthy for the industry as we saw the demand spread out geographically across North America. Yeah. And so seeing that come to fruition has been really, I think, is a good sign for the industry.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, let's talk a little bit about M&A. You know, there were certainly some highly notable deals, including two on the same day. Let's talk quickly, go through those. So QTS was bought by Blackstone. It was a public-to-private transaction, $10 billion. CyrusOne bought by KKR and GI Partners, $15 billion. On the same day, CoreSight bought by American Tower for $10 billion. So talk a little bit about, you know, why is that happening? Why is it significant? What's the impact it'll have on the industry?
Yeah, well, a couple things. I think you need to look at the companies that were acquired and the benefits that these acquisitions provide to them. You know, one is more capital. And as we've seen this market grow from just a scale perspective, that's extremely important. The other item that makes that really important is the global growth of our business. We're talking at a high level about the U.S. We're going to hit on some international trends here in a minute. But if you want to talk about additional data center growth, look at Europe, secondary markets in Europe, Asia. I mean, there is a lot happening in this market. And if you want to be competitive, you need to have the capital to do it. So that's one part of the benefit to those acquisitions. Another certainly would be in the flexibility in financial structuring of lease agreements and contracts. As the market has changed over the last 5 to 10 years, the actual end product for the user has changed. And so because of that, companies that have been able to adapt, build a product, and then also structure a transaction in a way that's beneficial to both the end user and the data center operator are the ones that are able to grow significantly. So those acquisitions are allowing those companies to do more of that. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why we think in 2022, you'll see a lot more money being deployed into major and secondary markets across the world.
Yeah, you know, that the reality of, you know, the public to private transactions are interesting because, you know, everybody talks about kind of being out of that kind of rat race of beholden to the quarterly report. That exists in every industry, but I think it's accentuated in the data center industry just because of the capital intensive nature of their development.
You bet.
Interesting thing to know. You know, one thing we've talked about this pod a lot is the data centers kind of moving towards the edge or moving towards kind of a smaller scale distributed network. And this is almost the opposite direction with the American Tower one, where they're a cell tower company that is moving towards the data center space. But what you're seeing that, and you've seen there's some other similar transactions kind of that direction, is these companies looking to build like an integrated communication solution from mobile phone all the way to the cloud, which we all know is a data center.
Yep.
So interesting to watch. I think there's some macro trends that are continuing to develop.
And we've also seen acquisitions, you know, before 2021 that were similarly, I think the end result was going for a similar outcome as you just mentioned. You know, building that portfolio of companies to serve user needs and to meet the demand moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So any other trends for 2021 as we kind of wrap it up?
Yeah, just a couple more. You know, I think 2021 marked the year that people were focused on like that path to growth and quickly delivering supply. You know, I don't think that's ever been more important from a supply standpoint as it relates to, you know, acquiring land parcels, working to get the power infrastructure in place to meet the timelines that are needed. And there's aspects that have come up in this environment that we've been in that have made it challenging. One is that the land sizes need to be larger. Another is that there are transactions that are interested in those land opportunities before, you know, sometimes even the dirt has been moved. And I don't think we can say this is like a run on land, but I definitely think that with as many sites that have been acquired in 2021, it's becoming a much more important part of the discussion. I think there's a common thought maybe out there in the market that, you know, you can just build a data center facility anywhere, but the reality is it takes a lot of time and it costs a lot of money. And so, and these data center facilities are becoming more valuable the closer they are to large, you know, populations of people. And typically the land around those areas is very expensive. So when you think about all those things, that's become the ability to acquire land and get it ready has become really important. And that kind of leads into the supply chain discussion. It's seen certainly in the global economy, but it's very appropriate in the data center space. I would say that the supply chain was on the radar far before the pandemic in the data center space because, as you mentioned, it takes a lot of capital. It takes a lot of money to build these facilities. But I think 2020 and 2021 were like a created a hyper focus on this. I don't believe that we've seen massive changes in delivery or anything like that in the data center space yet. I think a lot of what was bought 2 years ago, last year, is being used today. But we are hearing that there's going to be longer lead times as it relates to equipment and other things that would be needed from a data center, you know, construction perspective. So, you know, 2021, it was a fascinating year. You know, 2020 was tough and challenging because of the pandemic, but I think that both the data center operators and users figured out a way to make it work. We saw a lot of growth. And then 2021 was really the result of, I think, a lot of those things happening and spilling into this, you know, this past year. But those would be the main trends that we saw, certainly from a North America perspective.
Yeah, I mean, 2020 and 2021, if you look at them together, so much happened. So much has happened. So the great news for our loyal listeners is plenty for David and I to talk about.
Oh, that's right.
We have pods for
forever,
days.
Man, forever.
All right, let's look forward to 2022. So when we think about market or markets in general, it's like really four main categories, like supply, demand, not unique to the data center space, vacancy, and pricing.
Yeah.
So just kind of work through that rubric as far as what do you see looking forward across those kind of categories.
Yeah, so let's put up that North American primary markets power graph. So this really shows how the growth has taken place as we track it at Data Center Hawk every quarter, you know, how it's happened and really the growth rates, you know, from 2018 to 2019, it was about a 10% growth rate, 2019 to 2020, you know, 19%. And we think there'll be about 12 to, you know, 14% once this year ends. And so when we think about 2022, you know, we actually believe that the supply will grow, you know, more than it did in 2021. And, you know, I think that big projects will drive a lot of this supply delivery. I think the fact that hyperscale users are executing on, you know, both leasing their infrastructure as well as owning it and will drive that. And also, too, like turnkey and powered shell supply will be delivered to the market. So this has been a pretty big change in our market. 5 to 8 years ago, there were maybe three or four groups like building a powered shell facility, which is typically, you know, the shell, the base power delivered, but none of the infrastructure is there yet. We've seen this somewhat change because there's been more interest from larger users that want flexibility, that want to be able to execute their build profile, how they design, et cetera. And so that's something I think as well that will continue to grow the supply in the market. It's been fascinating to watch.
Yeah, and I will just offer a shameless plug real quick, as I heard you mention powered shell. If any of the terms we've talked about here are like unfamiliar to you, we did a whole series on data center fundamentals. You can go on YouTube and just search it. I think we're, you know, should come up quickly. Hopefully it's easy to find.
That's right.
Check that out if anything's unfamiliar. So, all right, so moving from supply to demand, let's talk about demand. What does that look like in the industry kind of looking forward?
Yeah, I really think it will grow as well in 2022. From 2021, you know, the growth into when we talk to people in the space today, they will tell you they're busier than ever. And, you know, there's some people that will say, hey, I'm really busy, but you don't get the sense that there's going to be a good outcome. Most, if not all, believe that, you know, there are great opportunities ahead from some of the larger demand that we've seen. And so with that being said, we think that's going to carry over into 2022 and make a big difference. The other thing that I would mention, we actually mentioned this on, I think, the last LinkedIn Live that we did, but it's worth discussing again, which is the enterprise demand. I don't want to say resurgence, but I would say it's at a higher level than it's been in the past. And if you think about financial companies, technology companies, insurance companies that maybe pushed pause on things in 2020, they are certainly active in the market today. And we're seeing those deals get done. And I think that's encouraging. You know, markets like Chicago, Dallas, that really thrive on that enterprise demand, it's happening. And, you know, I think there's other markets where if they had additional capacity, that capacity would be taken down as well. So the other thing I would add is think about the second generation space that's out there today. That will be something that I believe will be more and more valuable over time. I think data center operators are figuring out ways to lease that in maybe a different transaction at a lower rate, whatever that is. But as the supply gets eaten up, that second gen space will become more and more interesting.
All right. So similarly, all topics are kind of related. But you know, look at like the vacancy. Is this another way to shed light on some of the macro trends that are going on? We've really seen that trend downward over the last 1 to 2 years. So talk a little bit about maybe why that is and then what you think. Will that trend continue?
Yeah. One is what I just mentioned about that second generation space. There's markets where that's become attractive and there's transactions that have been out there that that has found that interesting. I think we can put up the graph on vacancy, but you know, we've seen vacancy declines really in the top five markets across the U.S., so let me just highlight this. You know, at the end of – this is Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Northern California, Northern Virginia. At the end of 2020, you know, Atlanta's vacancy rate was 7.3. At the end of Q3, it was 5.4. Chicago, 9.9 at the end of 2020, 6.6. Dallas, 15.7. Q3 2021, 10.3. Noticing the trend here? Northern California, 5.1, 3.4. Northern Virginia, 2.5% at the end of 2020, 1.9. the end of Q3 2021. So that's really telling us two things. Pre-leasing is continuing and the second gen space is getting leased. And, you know, I really think that you will see the vacancy either stay the same or, you know, decrease just depending on how much supply can get delivered in 2022.
All right. And then what everybody would really want to know is what impact will this have on pricing?
Yeah. When I started in the space a while ago, it's becoming longer and longer ago, which just shows that we're aging.
I can't tell.
I appreciate that. You know, pricing has historically declined, and there's a lot of people that will ask about that, and it's hard to understand. There's really two main reasons. One is the product is different today than it was 10 years ago. There's a more efficient, a less redundant data center facility being built today that's serving those needs of enterprise users and hyperscale companies than was back in, you know, 2011. And that has to do with design, electrical design, mechanical design. And so those savings have been passed on to the user. The other thing I would mention is the data center operators have become more efficient in how they deliver the product. So the pricing has decreased. The other thing I would mention is just it's more competitive. And you can go from market to market and see the quality facilities that have been built and the way that the offering has changed. You know, it's much more now than, you know, power, space, and cooling. It is a whole understanding of your global business and how we can serve that, your connectivity needs and companies that are trying to build ecosystems where you can really expand your network over a long period of time. So, you know, when I think about pricing in 2022, there's a couple things that I think about. One is historically it's mostly declined, but I think you're starting to see a path where it could increase. And here's why. You know, one is I think just the inflation that is out there in the market today, global economy, as well as just the rise of construction costs. I think that will play a part in some of potentially the pricing increases that you'll see moving forward. You know, and then there's other, not all markets, but specific markets where you will see supply constraints. You know, and I'll give you a good example just where we sit here in Dallas. And this is true, you know, in other markets at that market level. But, you know, 2 years ago, you'd be able to find 6 to 8 data centers in Dallas with 4 megawatts of contiguous space and power available. So 4 megawatt requirement, you know, that might get done in the mid, you know, 70s from a cost perspective. Well, now in Dallas, there might be 2 facilities that can accommodate that. And you know, maybe the next facility comes online in 6 months. So there's starting to be an argument for less supply in the market.
And some leverage swinging back to
the
operator.
Yeah, more demand. And, you know, listen, the data center operator community is smart in that. They understand, you know, company relationships and global portfolio. But there are some changes in the environment that are happening that, you know, that could point to that, which I think is really interesting. We've not seen that in, you know, since my time in the industry.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about international. I want to give our international viewers some love because there are some, you know, talk about some of the things you're seeing from an overseas standpoint.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for joining. If you are many hours ahead or maybe behind. We're glad that you're on our LinkedIn Live, and you are probably the busiest people you know that are out there today, just given the heavy emphasis we've seen on hyperscale maturity in markets. You know, if you look at what's happening in Europe, there's five main markets in Europe, and then there's but there's an additional, you know, I'd say 10 to 15 markets where that we'd call secondary, where there's a lot of large scale data center activity, you know, happening. APAC is seeing similar things take place. And so I think, you know, if you think about 2022, you will see large supply projects get announced. These are projects that have been worked on for 3-4 years. And we've even seen some in the last week. I think Yonder just announced a 100 megawatt project in Frankfurt. CloudHQ just announced a large project in Paris. And these are markets traditionally that are like very hard to deliver supply in, or have become harder over time. So that's really encouraging from a from an international perspective. I think we'll see more and more M&A activity. It's very clear that U.S. data center operators are looking to figure out ways to get into European markets quickly. And one of the ways to do that is to, you know, acquire another data center operator. This, you know, the advantages something like this provides are around an immediate customer base, you know, as well. Sometimes these facilities have land next to them that has been part of that growth opportunity for that provider. So I think that's encouraging. But I think in from an international perspective, paying attention to the regulatory environments will be important in 2022 as countries look to figure out how to deal with the large infrastructure demands that data center projects create.
Yeah, the geopolitical even. Yeah. I think we're starting to see that in APAC specifically, like it's really coming to bear specifically on the data center industry.
Yeah, and we're seeing some of that in the U.S., maybe a little differently than we have before. And so those are important things to pay attention to, because that will, you know, could kind of green light projects moving forward. It also could, you know, potentially slow down, you know, where the opportunities are on an international basis.
All right, let's jump now to the Q&A, question and answer section of our program today. This is not actually a question, it's a statement. Any thoughts on emerging markets like Latin America, India, and Africa would be much appreciated.
Yeah, well,
it's Christmas, it's the season for giving, so let's give a gift here.
Let's do that. No, I think each one of those areas represents a massive opportunity. And because of the amount of people that are there and some of the underdeveloped markets that are there from an infrastructure perspective. I mean, I think, you know, Latin America has been marked by hyperscale growth, the colo market becoming more and more mature. There's a number of telecom operators that are very prevalent in those markets, Brazil, Mexico, Colombia. And a number of those markets too are served by subsea cable. So I think those are exciting opportunities. You know, India, this past year marked like multiple hyperscale projects being kicked off. There's a number of joint venture agreements being formed by groups to really chase the demand that's there. But I think most people think about India, just a massive population size that's there, and the opportunities with data center development. And then Africa, you know, with most of the colocation market being kind of in South Africa, I think there's maybe opportunities to draft off of the investments made by cloud service providers. And, you know, data centers like to cluster, you know, and grow in areas where they know they can. And so that's certainly an area to pay attention to as well. I mean, like I said, all those areas represent massive opportunities for the data center sector.
Yeah, our next question is on sustainability. A lot of the conversation around sustainability to date has been like around the power procurement side.
Yes.
Is that going to have an impact on design going forward?
Yeah. Well, I think it already has. You know, there's definitely a big focus on sustainability from a power standpoint in our industry, which is great. And the industry, I mean, that is such a buzzword right now in our space, which is a really good thing. But I think if you look at data center design, I think you could get data center operator one after the other that would show you what they are doing from a design standpoint to apply a sustainability approach to their methods. You know, if you think about just there's certain providers that are working to get as much water out of the data center as possible. There's those that are really looking to like build their facilities from like a LEED certified side of things, which would take definitely design and construction elements into from an efficiency perspective into that process. So I think from the design standpoint, that's taking place. Will it get better? Absolutely. But it's definitely on the radar of both data center operators and large data center users that are building and owning their own infrastructure.
Yeah, this next one is about, it's a more geographic question around like Virginia, and we've talked about this on pods in the past, but you know, what do you think about the growth in data centers, you know, outside of kind of the main core of Northern Virginia? Do we see that expanding? And it asks specifically about Southern Virginia, Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about that, the growth in those areas?
Yeah. Well, if you've ever been to Loudoun County Parkway and Waxpool Road, that's like
heart of the internet,
the main and main of data center growth, and it really grows out from there. You know, Loudoun County has been such a proponent of data center growth, and they have been very successful in growing that that market. And but land sites are getting harder and harder to find from a growth perspective there. So we have seen growth in areas like Manassas, you know, some of the different counties that are around up north to Leesburg. And it's moving further and further out. Now, I would tell you that most people, I believe, still want to be as close to that area as we talked about, because of the benefits of being near all of that infrastructure, connectivity, the power, et cetera. But with that heavy demand in that market, in order to meet the timelines needed by some of these large companies, you're going to have to move outside. And so that's why we're seeing some of these projects moving even further south and even north, you know, into like the Maryland area to try to capture some of the larger demand moving forward. So it's a dynamic market, and those pockets of growth will keep happening. But we are seeing companies still focus on that Ashburn, Sterling area and figure out if there's a 15, 20 acre parcel, you know, how can I get it under contract, and when can I deliver the power?
Yeah. All right. There's a handful of questions here kind of all around pricing. I think you kind of touched on some of these, so we'll kind of end with this. You know, when you talk about pricing looking forward, is there any differentiation between like hyperscale, wholesale, and retail? As far as, you know, you mentioned kind of the pricing starting to rebound a little bit. Is that different versus across those categories?
Yeah, I think it would be. I mean, you know, when you look at pricing for smaller opportunities in that retail sector, those are typically driven by more connectivity, network needs, and those, you know, will be more at a premium. But that wholesale hyperscale, the wholesale area, let me focus on that. I think certainly you will see that, you know, price jump where there's limited supply. Mm-hmm. You know, the hyperscale pricing is a bit unique because the product can be built differently. There's about 5 to 10 companies that are really driving that. So it's not hundreds of companies that are building that. So the pricing there would be, you know, something to watch, and the pricing increases might not be as great because they've got multiple projects going on. But I certainly believe that the pricing in certain markets will increase. And each one of those, I mean, to the person that asked the question, each one of those groups is really fascinating to watch because mm-hmm. they do have different needs.
Yeah. All right, let's end it on that. David, anything else to share, kind of parting thoughts here?
No, I would just say to those that have watched and been a part of our Data Center Hawk journey, we're so thankful. And from my perspective, I just want to say, you know, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and really hope that you have a great holiday season with your family. We appreciate your support. And from my standpoint, we're looking forward to a great 2022.
Yeah, I'd echo all of that. You know, a lot of familiar names on the LinkedIn Live. So great to see everyone join out today. So again, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks.